You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Justified After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Justified After Show.
And welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Bing is for doing, and we are here doing another AfterBuzz TV after show for Justified, Season 4, Episode 3, entitled Truth and Consequences. I'm your host, John Comerford. I'm joined in the studio by the very professional and wonderful man, incredible insights, Joe Braswell.
Hello.
I gave him wonderful insights, and that's it so far. Okay. And, of course, next to him is always Steve Bottomley.
Hey.
Thank you very much for that.
How are you?
And in the booth for us this evening is Marissa Serafini.
Hello, everyone.
And normally we'd have Tamara Berg with us, but she's off with a prior commitment. We wish her luck on that. She'll be back next week. Okay, lots of happening in this particular story. We got Theo makes a comeback, or in some respects.
Boy, does he.
Yes, he does. And, shall we just say that Jimmy has a little... let's say he does... he has a nice joke with the snake, a little... tongue-in-cheek, so to speak.
Oh,
Raylan and Randall have a showdown. Let's start off with Raylan and Randall, because who saw this coming? I mean, especially the ending. I mean, I'm starting with the ending, that the fact that Lindsay is gone.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming. I thought for sure there was going to be more to that.
No.
Now, of course, it's left up to us to wonder whether or not she did it of her own accord or if Randall made her. But it's certainly the way she described the things that she had done in the past. It looks like Raylan's just another victim of how they'd handled it before.
She at least had the decency to leave his boxers.
Yeah.
I mean, I love how the room's ransacked. There's nothing left. And he's like, my boxers. He lifts them up. And
a safety pin.
But, yeah. And a safety pin, yeah. So.
No, that's what's so great about these guys doing this show. They set it up where you're going, she's trying to be honest. She's trying to be, she's like clean slate here. And she was trying to warn them.
Could be, but do you? I mean, I still don't think this is of her own accord.
I don't. Well, he's an awfully big guy to say no to.
Well, yeah, but that would
perhaps
make it look like, of course, that she didn't do this of her own accord.
And it doesn't seem like. Well, it doesn't seem like that. This is a plot, like a long-standing sort of plan she had. Number one, number two, if it was of her own accord, I'm putting my detective hat on now. I doubt she'd ransack her own room.
Well, maybe just to throw, if he is a lawman, let make it look like
that.
But the other thing is, I think she really genuinely cares for him. I don't think she wants to have anything to do with this. I think if Randall gave her no choice, she said, all right, well, I'll make it look good until I finally get away.
Right.
But I don't know. Who knows? I mean, Justified does lots of strange things.
I mean, there's a lot of the layers continue to get sort of peeled back. Every week there's sort of a new character, a new layer to a character, a new storyline, and we know.
But, I mean, because it doesn't look like she's in the long con, you know what I mean? Because
they spent a lot of time.
And they could have got a lot more money, conning somebody else.
Sure.
I mean, granted, Raylan, who knows?
$10,000 is not exactly a big fish.
But it wasn't a small score. I mean, he had at least $10,000.
That's true. But,
Is that enough to throw love out the window?
Well, that's the other thing. She could have taken that, and if it was really about the money, my guess is when she knew that money was there, and I'm guessing she knew that money was there, she could have taken it at any time. She didn't have to wait for Randall to come
back. Very true.
Unless she's using that as the excuse. Who knows?
Yeah.
It was a great button.
Yeah, but of course, and that was the last... the last thing we saw, so we'll find out next week. But more than that, I also like... Okay, so we had the big showdown. We were talking earlier about the showdown. This is one of the showdowns we had this particular episode. We had at least four.
At least four showdowns we had. We talked about... we talked about it. I still love... I just say it. I love the Western motif we have, and the show's all about sort of confrontations and showdowns and standoffs and, some with guns, most with without. This one, we had four big ones that you know that we all had, and we had Boyd and the sister at the beginning.
Yes,
and then we had Raylan and the boxer, of course, mm-hmm. and then we had Raylan the FBI agent, and then we had Boyd and the preacher at the end. Yeah. So, you know, the scorecard here, I think Boyd got the best of the sister in the first one. I think. I mean,
I love that scene how they set
the
it up.
Sister one, that's right. The sister one.
They have Boyd sitting right by the heater.
Yeah.
You know, like the flames of hell. Yeah. You know, they have
that
him.
Glow. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That
and glow. He's just, they couldn't put him more as, you know, just the Satan type character.
Right.
In that opening bit.
Sure. Even the hair. And I've always said how much I love the hair. But even that hair, because it's so pointy and everything, it doesn't look devilish and just.
Yeah.
Well, actually, thinking back, who got the best of who in that standoff there?
Well,
you know, Boyd offered the money, and she, you know, he knows what she's up to, but she, you know, said that she, you know, what happened there?
You think that she got the upper hand, but Boyd leaves it with, "I think we misjudged each other."
Yeah, I know.
Which means bad things are coming.
Right.
She thought, obviously, that she's going to, if he's going to give me that much money, he'll give me more.
He'll give me more.
So, he said, I won't be that, and you got the wrong guy. I don't get shooken down, or I won't get shaken down.
I don't get shaken down. And for me, the line was, the carrot didn't work, give him the stick. Yeah. So, obviously, that was it. That's all Boyd was going to give him.
Right.
To have him move on, and that didn't
Except
work.
The stick had a bite.
Quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, I thought a prediction was coming true. As soon as I saw the guy getting bit by the snakes,
that's
I was going, oh. You know, because early on I said those snakes are going to kill somebody.
I don't think
they're going to kill anybody.
Yeah,
not those snakes.
Well, actually, we don't know what's going to happen to the preacher. So,
Jimmy is not dead.
Oh, you're saying you're right. Those snakes won't kill anyone because they were
milked. Yeah,
that's right.
Cassie's milked.
Very true.
We'll hit that beat later.
Yeah.
The Boyd and Boyd and Billy, but yeah, so my prediction evidently will not.
Well, no. You said someone's going to get killed
dead
by a snake.
You didn't say who it was. Yeah, that's true.
What's the kid's name? Is it
Billy? Preacher Billy?
No, Jimmy? The kid who got
Jimmy, I believe.
Is Jimmy going to make it?
You
may be right.
No, because the doctor was saying the only reason he's still here is because
they're so dry.
Even with all the dry.
So he's likely to make it.
I have to say, I mean, you know, FX pushes the envelope, we all know, but that was as gruesome as a scene. I mean, I jumped. And when I saw the reveal of the, you know, as when he rolled in, I mean, that was as gruesome of a scene, as gruesome of a reveal, him coming into the bar with the snake attached to him.
Still.
With the, that was some very creative.
What was worse? All right, let's get into this. What was worse? Have all the snakes and biting him, and the first time he gets bit in the face, that... Or was it worse when he got rolled in and you see it hanging there because three quarters of it shot off and so the only things left is the head?
I think that for me it was him rolling in and seeing it still hanging there.
Or was it when it was ripped off his face?
When they ripped it off his face, I was anticipating a little bit more hamburger on the chin. You know what I mean?
I was thinking, geez, couldn't you? You had tools, couldn't you? Just kind of surgically, surgically, just kind of pull that out. Why rip it out?
It's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
The last time I had a rattlesnake attached to my face, what I did was
enlighten us, Joe.
No idea. Yeah. But the look, I mean, whatever it looked like, his eye was swollen, his cheek was swollen. I mean, it looked like that's what it's supposed to.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, I don't know. That was very creative.
Because he had all, it looked necrotic almost.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure there was still enough venom to do something, but not.
I mean, all the talk of the following, but if this, you know, and all the violence or whatnot there, but this was pretty good. This is pretty good.
Yeah,
you know, there was a pretty intense scene later with the FBI agent, but they're kind of going in a lot of interesting directions in getting, you know, the energy, we'll call it.
Sure.
In keeping their whatever's, is it rated? What is the show rated?
TVMA.
TVMA. So you got to work to keep that rating.
That's
yeah,
true.
They're working hard.
Well, that's for mature audiences. Let's get back to a Randall and the story when the show down there and they had the locker room.
Yeah.
I really
shout out number two on my scorecard.
They really made it, you know, because, and how many times have we seen this when Raylan talks to somebody where he tells him to get out of, the first scene of the first episode where he's, get out of, you know, I'll give you a minute to get out of here, or I'm going to shoot you.
You gave him to get out of town by sundown.
Exactly.
You know, the old Western.
So I'm thinking, well, they're coming, that's a recurring thing, so they're going to have some showdown later. I mean, which was great that they didn't, because now we get to see that, have that thing play out a little bit. So right. Obviously Lindsay's going to be in here for a while. But, you know, I like the, you know, Raylan does his thing. He's checked his jacket. He, you know, does his all his martial speak to let him know he knows who he is and what he's up to and all that other stuff.
Right.
Randall, he's not interested in that. He's not scared a bit.
Yeah. Well, I'm just really more impressed with Raylan. I mean, Raylan was not, because Randall looks like a tough guy.
Well, yeah,
Raylan
they certainly introduced him that way.
I mean, yeah, and he didn't back down at all. Knowing he's a bruiser, you know, he even called him out and said, you know, I was in bed with your wife this morning.
Right. So. That was why it was working so well for me, because Raylan has already told Lindsay, this is a guy I can't take down with a hammer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he's still stepping up and being Raylan.
Yeah.
And I'm like, going, dude, what is your plan here? Because you know you can't take him down with a hammer, and what are you going to shoot him?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I guess, you know, the whole idea.
But he was egging him on.
Yeah, but that was great. You know, but he also had the ace in his pocket. Look, he knows that you're not even supposed to leave Florida. And as a marshal, he could have just hauled him in.
Right. But he didn't. This is the thing. Yeah. This is Raylan. So he came in to basically give the guy a shot. Said, I'll give you till sundown to get out of here. And when he said no, I'll give you till sundown to show up and let's do the dance.
Yeah.
And Raylan's like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, Raylan could have said, no, I'll take a thought. I'll take you in.
Yeah.
But he's ready to go. So I don't know. That's but never happened. It never happened.
No, but
we didn't get that fight yet.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll see that?
Oh, yeah, because, there's always going to be that thing. You're going to have the showdown at some point.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, who knew what when they were talking about, when they were having that conversation? Did Randall know what the plan was? Did Randall know he and Lindsay were going to... If there was a plan.
Yeah. Right.
Or was that a spur-of-the-moment thing where Randall... He had to have known Raylan had the money somehow.
Right.
Unless he showed up.
Right.
You know, so it was a very surprising thing. And you know, you go back and you think, okay, well, where are they coming from on that one?
Yeah.
It was a bit suspicious that Randall would show up and then she can just go outside and talk to him and he would just leave. That was a bit suspicious if he was so... once he showed up, I thought, oh, wow, this is going to be bad. And then she just chatted with him and he's like, oh, he's gone. I thought that was a little suspicious. So maybe there is a plan.
Well, we'll find out. They don't write this show poorly.
They do not.
Let's just move right into Boyd and Billy some more.
Oh, real quick. Yeah. I'm sorry, but they were, I think, playing with some set design, some set dressing.
All right,
this
go
episode.
Ahead.
In Raylan's pad, with Lindsay, they have, I guess, what they like, the better version of the Wyatt Earp Tombstone movie.
Okay. Right.
Tombstone poster is up in
Is in Raylan's pad?
Yeah. And he goes and he looks at it for a little bit when she's talking to him.
Uh-huh.
He, like, stares at it and stuff. And I'm like, going, okay, all right. You guys are on the Tombstone team.
So they kind of highlighted it?
Yeah.
I must have been writing when I said it.
Then they play with it again where Jimmy comes in.
When he comes into the bar?
Yeah, with the snake on his face.
Yeah.
Behind him is a poster for Venom. It's like, you guys are good. I don't know if it was a band or the movie or what, but they're
very literal.
Yeah, they're like playing.
Well, Tombstone, we talked about this. So, you know, one of the Earp brothers did get it on the pool table in Tombstone. Bill Paxton paid. I can't remember which Earp brother it was, but Bill Paxton got it.
Dying on
so
that.
I don't know. Maybe there was a little bit of a...
Oh, maybe they were a little...
playing with that, yeah.
So anyway, stuff to look for.
I didn't. What other posters? Anything else? Because
then I started looking around in the background. Yeah. I started losing track of the story.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't notice any posters. I was really focused on the snake on the guy's face.
No, I
wasn't scanning.
I'm
the room
depending
for
on you guys. Cause I was just looking for posters at that point.
Not helpful.
Not too much.
Well, let's put it out there for everybody who's been watching. What other Easter eggs did we miss, so to speak?
Well, those are the two I saw.
Now we know to look for the Easter eggs.
And on that note, thank you very much for writing in and giving us your comments. I think we have one that was somebody wanted to know. I can't remember. Let me see if I got the name here. Sean Ben Down, 602, I believe, wanted to know if our Tamara Berg was the same Tamara Berg from the Hallmark Home and Family. And indeed, it is. That's where she is this evening.
Is that where she is tonight?
She is. She's working with Hallmark's Hallmark Channel's Home and Family.
Well, there she is.
Yeah.
So somebody found her out.
Yeah. Somebody found her out. So yeah. So she's doing that. So that's that was that question. For those of you who've been writing in and leaving comments and rating on us, we want to thank you very much for doing that. That keeps us going here. It also keeps us honest, because somebody else gave us a note saying that they that Winona is in Louisville, not Lexington, and we should do our homework.
Thank you.
The point we were trying to make is that she's not in the show anymore because she's on another show, not necessarily where she is exactly. So we apologize for we made a mistake.
And
to your other question, no, we won't be waiting a day to do this, because the point of our shows is that we like to go on right afterwards for the immediacy of it. It's not that so that we can be perfect in our analysis or all of our points. It's to start a conversation so that you'll get to continue it, and then we can hear your comments and rate, etc. So thank you for that. Let's move on to Boyd and Billy.
Oh, boy, that was a fun one.
Okay, so I got to say, now, I wasn't even sure there was a real snake in there. I thought it was going to be one
I was wondering.
So we do the whole show. Yeah, we've already talked about Cassie and Boyd, and so he comes back, of course. And now, because of learning that the snakes are been milked dry, I think Boyd's, oh, this is great. He found them out. He's going to catch them in front of everybody. It's good stuff. And then it was like they called his bluff, and he goes, okay, fine. And he brings the snake, or at least he brings the box, and he says that whole thing. That part was great. Then when he says, okay, I think my work here is done, and he starts to walk away, and that's when they really calls her bluff, and the preacher Billy says, No, come on, bring it up. And I went, oh, man, it's just like a recording or something. Yeah. He has no real snake in there. That I'm going, oh, shoot. I thought that would have been fun.
Yeah.
Because then how Boyd's going to get out of that?
I just knew there was a snake in there.
Yeah. I was with you, John. I didn't know if there was a snake in there or not. Yeah. But.
No, I just knew.
Absolutely, you're right. I mean, because with Boyd's character, they had to have a real
Boyd,
snake.
Yeah.
But it would have been, it would have been fun to see Boyd get caught like that, wouldn't it? To see how he would wiggle out of that.
Great. That was.
Don't get me wrong. The snake thing. I love that snake thing, and I think it's great that Billy got bit in the whole thing.
The great.
No,
scene.
I would want to be on the set where Walton goes up to.
Yeah.
Goes up to the director and says, "Hey, what do you think about
it?" Yeah, exactly. What if I don't have a snake?
Yeah, we'll be back to you. Yeah.
I loved that scene. I love the idea, like you said, to recap the whole thing. And that's again, showdown number four here. But like, I did love the whole back and forth. It was like a tennis match. It was like, you know, Boyd's like, "I got you," and the preacher's like, "Well, I got you," and then I got you back.
The nice one up of it,
you know. Yeah, and then ultimately, just when you thought it was over, Boyd's like, "Well, that's that." And the preacher's like, "Aha." You know, I'll show you. And then even then, I thought, well, I guess the preacher wins, but then he got bit.
Well,
So I don't know who went. You know, I know who won that showdown. I think it was Boyd.
I think the snake won. Let's put it that way. But I thought what was most interesting is obviously when the snake and it's the real snake, of course. And then all of a sudden, the tension goes crazy because I'm going, oh man! And we've already seen what a snake can do. That's dry, so to speak. So this is going to be interesting. But the other thing is, this preacher Billy, who really wants to believe that he is an instrument of God, and you could see the look on his face when he realized this whole thing was he's been duped by his own sister. But of course, she's doing it by ostensibly because she saw her father die from all this, and she doesn't want a brother, etc. But the look on his face, and then you realize that, oh my God, he's the torment that put him through.
Sure.
And then you see Boyd's change when he realizes, dude, we're not playing games here. And he tries to tell him, look, you don't have to do this.
Which is interesting.
What was the word he says? You don't have nothing to be embarrassed or ashamed of.
Nothing to be ashamed of, son.
Yeah.
You know, for all of our talk of, Boyd is as returning as a bad guy, that was a very compassionate moment. I mean, Boyd, it's almost like he's a civilian. Like, this guy is a civilian. He's a true believer. I'm after you, Cassie.
Right.
But this guy's a true believer.
Yeah.
And when he's going in, he's like, son, you don't have to do this.
Yeah, he
had his moment of being a father.
Yeah, he was fatherly.
And again,
there.
It was this moment where you go, you are playing with this character so much.
Yeah.
You're setting this guy up to get hurt, and then you're trying to have him not get hurt.
Yeah.
And he can't save Billy.
Right.
And they do it again. They do this a couple of times with the two characters.
Yeah.
In this instance, Boyd knows he can't save Billy, and he knows it's out of his control. Just like he couldn't save any of his parishioners, he can't save Billy. But he tries.
Yeah, he certainly tries.
Which is an odd choice.
Well, not only that, but he's not interested. He doesn't care if Brother Billy is preaching, because what he cares about is that you're taking away my business. So if that didn't happen, he wouldn't care. He would have no thing.
Just go preach somewhere else.
Exactly, and that's all he wanted for Cassie. Mm-hmm. But what I thought was interesting, he makes his point, and he thinks it's over, and of course that's not enough, because the kid still has the hubris. He still wants to prove it. And he's still trying to talk about it, but then the fact that he just let it happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I go, well, see, that's wonderfully textured, because there's all this gray, you know, it's not black or white, because there's so much to hate about Boyd. Is, you know, I mean, let's face it, I mean, he's white supremacist, I mean, he kills people, I mean, the drug, all that kind of stuff, and yet there is that other side of him. I mean, there, in some ways, he's very, well, he was fatherly.
And compassionate.
Yeah.
And really, for Boyd.
He doesn't wish any ill against Preacher Billy.
No, that's what I said, because really, for Boyd, this isn't about Boyd versus Billy, as I've ever written down here. It's really about, it's still Boyd versus Cassie.
Yeah.
This whole thing, you know, poor Billy's just caught in the crossfire.
Well, because Cassie's aware.
Right. This is all for Cassie. Like, how about this, Cassie? Are you really going to let your brother do this?
Brother Billy's
going to die.
Until he learns that the snakes were, Brother Billy had his innocence.
Right. And he won, and Cassie gave up. Like, don't do it. And Billy's okay, that's it. I win, Cassie. Ha. But Billy took over.
Yeah.
No, you didn't win. Here we go.
Okay, but am I the only one that wanted Boyd to go, okay, don't take the snake back before he kills him?
Well, yeah.
I don't think you...
I mean, he can't. I'm just saying. As an audience, as I'm going out there, no, dude, because part of me wants Boyd just to be the good guy.
Right.
He's never going to be.
I always wanted Rain Man to speak better.
But wasn't it...
Some things you just don't get.
Was it an inevitability that the snake was going to bite? Because after the snake was coming out, I was actually rooting for the snake not to bite him. I'm like, oh, well...
For a moment, I thought that's what was going to happen.
Yeah.
I thought,
if the snake's coming out, then maybe Billy's got the snake. And then I
thought, well, God, this is going to be great with the gun, because if the snake doesn't bite him and now he really assumes this mantle of I am saved, I am an instrument of God, and he's protecting me, etc. Now that puts Boyd in an even worse spot, because now there's going to be more people flocking to this church.
That's one of the reasons why for a minute there I thought, oh, they're going to do this, because Boyd has been, I'm an old man, flummoxed. Multiple times in this season.
Oh, yeah, in the first three.
And to have that happen would be another moment of him going, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
This isn't supposed to play this way.
Yeah.
But one thing that I noticed, I think that's probably the first time Cassie really prayed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In that church.
Really
She was praying.
If she had prayed.
She was true believer. Last thing I'll say is, I will say that, I'm not ashamed to say, I was a little heartbroken. I really wanted...
Felt bad for Billy.
For Billy, because he was a true believer.
Yeah.
And then he went to his faith. He's like, this is going to... I got to believe this anyway. And then he didn't have to.
And even Cassie, she's doing the wrong thing for the right reason. She's, we just want a real church.
He deserves to have a real church.
So he deserves to have a real... So that's why we're shaking you down.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully Billy will survive.
I'm sure there are people out there who saw it and said, no, I wanted Billy to get bit by the snake. Let him die.
What did Billy do to anyone?
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, I'll be curious to know if we get notes on whether or not that was the correct snake that, Raylan said he found.
Right.
No, somebody will come in and say, no, actually.
You mean Boyd said he found it.
Boyd. I'm sorry, Boyd.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
I'm not saying what snake it is.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It bites, though.
All right, but one of the reasons why I think it was why they chose not to go into the route where the snake doesn't bite him, or does bite him and he survives, whatever. So it makes it look like God is protecting him, whichever they wanted to go. And I think the reason why they wanted to kind of clear it out a little bit is because there's a bigger person on the horizon, which leads us to our next thing, is Theo Tonin comes into play here.
Yeah.
And Theo Tonin is somehow tied into Drew Peterson. Drew Peterson is an actual person.
Thompson.
Drew Thompson. I'm thinking of Drew Peterson. Let's not get into that. But anyway, I'm thinking of Drew Thompson. Now, apparently, Drew Thompson has seen Theo Tonin kill a federal officer. Uh-huh. And that's what this is. And that's what Theo Tonin is on.
Informant?
Government informant.
Government informant. Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
So he, I'm just trying to beat notes.
Yeah, exactly. So we don't get another.
Right. So now, and I got a little confused. So if anyone else is confused, just, you know, we can get this all cleared up together. Drew was hoping everyone would believe he hit the pavement.
Yeah.
Right.
But it was
had
Waldo for, Truth.
Right. Exactly.
And the reason they found out is because Waldo had a scar on his ass.
Yeah, exactly. So, So that's all coming to light. So for whatever it is, however many years it's been, decades, they've all thought that Drew Peterson has been dead.
What
I learned today was Adam Arkin, the character's name?
Theo Tonin.
Theo Tonin is a bad, bad guy. We have a guy who faked his own death in pushing another guy off a plane to avoid him. The poor FBI guy.
Right.
You know, shot himself to avoid the wrath of Theo.
Yeah.
If
you didn't get it from last season with Quarles and what kind of how bad Theo Tonin is, then I just love how they're just, he's... We thought he was, but now he's always even worse.
Yeah, he's really
this is
bad
a
guy.
30-year-old crime that people are still killing themselves over.
And his henchman, that guy was as bad as a.
Yeah, we always have these wonderful bad guys. two things. I mean, first of all, just the Phoebe coming in there was his name, Special Agent Arms, whatever his name was, the Phoebe that ended up shooting himself. I mean, I thought, you know, the way they were playing it out, I mean, it's like, oh, this guy's going to be around for a while.
Sure.
This is going to be pay attention. Boom. Yeah. And then I'm going, damn, you cannot be sure if you get a job on this show.
No kidding. How cool do I die?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I thought he was, in that showdown, I thought, you know, it's funny how cocky he was the entire time. He's leaning back and he's like, we got this, and wasn't afraid of Raylan. Even at the boxing gym, he's very much like, you know. Then after Raylan caught him.
Yeah, Raylan catches him.
He was like, oh, okay.
When they're in the office and he's kind of giving them all, you know,
grief
about
interagencies do.
Yes. He was really handsy with Raylan.
Oh, yeah, that was,
patting him, like giving him a massage and hits him on the way out and stuff.
All that
it was
about.
Like, I don't know, but it was just an odd moment.
It was weird.
But that was the other moment that it was a parallel. It was just as Boyd couldn't save Billy, there's nothing he could say. Raylan could not save the FBI guy. And in fact, he told him, I'll shoot you in the leg.
Yeah.
Yeah, he tried.
And he could.
Yeah.
But, you know, the guy was just too fast. But they had, again, those parallels that we're seeing this whole season, they're continuing it.
Right. The henchman, the guy who kidnapped the Milfy psychic.
Milfy psychic? They were great at Coachella.
What was her name?
They were awesome at Coachella, man.
Milfy psychic. The guy who kidnapped the Milfy psychic, he was Eve Monroe. I'm sorry.
Drew Thomas. That's okay. We've screwed up names all over the place. I'm sure we'll get a bunch of comments. Hey, pay attention.
Milfy, take notes. Milfy Monroe.
I liked Eve. But the fact that the guy who kidnapped her, that guy was a bad guy. He's the line he had was as scary as anything else. The whole, like, you know, I'm not interested in how, you shouldn't be worried about how long you're going to live, but how slow you're going to die.
Right.
That scared the ish out of me. That scared the crap out of me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that guy was bad, but they got him just in
Mason.
Time, so Mason, is that his name?
Yeah.
Wow.
That was one of those things where I'm like going, I'd like to spend more time with Mason.
I know. I'm cool on Mason.
Well, you know,
well, I mean, yeah, because the characters are interesting.
Because the character, and remember last season, you know, you don't like to, you know, go remember, but when Quarles, was doing his thing,
yeah. Sure.
And it was so fun to watch.
Yeah.
And so creepy and so weird.
Yeah.
They don't have that character
yet. Not yet.
They don't have that guy yet. And I thought,
Mason
might be it.
Right.
But,
could be Randall. We don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Randall he knows, you know, how to fight. And he knows how to fight quickly. But he doesn't seem out of control so much. You know, he seems...
Not yet. I mean, I don't know. I don't think we know enough
about
him.
Maybe under pressure.
And frankly, you know, Mason's not dead, so... I mean, Mason's only arrested, and we've known, you know, people escape.
Yeah.
things happen.
I mean, if he really is working for Theo Tonin, I'm guessing then he somehow
may be released.
Yeah, he may be in some fashion. Yeah.
Well, Art said he was
a bad guy.
What's that?
Art said he was.
Oh, did he? Oh, that's okay. Great. That's right. I forgot. So that could mean that he'll be out because Theo's obviously powerful. Who knows what kind of arrangement, lawyer, whatever, try to get him. I mean, because he's got him on kidnapping, but I mean, who knows? I mean, you never know what could happen.
So, what about the other family? You know, let's talk about Johnny.
Yeah, that was the other thing I wanted to talk about. Well, you know, because Johnny and Boyd have never, especially since Boyd shot him.
There was that.
Yeah, there's that.
That's a bad family, by the way.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, Crowders have never.
Bo Crowder was no angel.
Yeah, none of them were.
Boyd's
none
no
of them
sweetheart.
It's like, what the hell happened to that family?
Johnny, you know, that's
it does make for awkward Thanksgiving.
Yeah, the Crowder family Thanksgiving.
Did anybody get a hug when they were a kid? What the hell happened? So they've never had a lot of love lost between them. But I never thought Johnny. At some point was it last season when he kind of hinted that he was going
to
do this?
Well, that turned out to be untrue. I mean, that was that thing where he intended to go against them, but then it turned out he wasn't.
Right, with the
quarrels, right? Or was it?
No. It was I can't remember the name, but it was like the right hand man, with Boyd that they whacked.
Well, anyway,
that's right.
So regardless. When he was talking, I'm going, is this obviously, Boyd doesn't even know who he is, so it's not another one of those situations,
right.
But is he really going to win?
I don't know.
I mean, it's been coming for a long time because he hit it on Ava last season and all that other stuff, so there's all this other stuff going in between him, and he's not getting his due, and all Boyd is doing is crawling up his butt, telling him all the things he isn't doing.
He's sick of walking around that cane, I'll tell you that.
But they had that opportunity last season, and Johnny, wasn't in on it.
No.
So what's changed?
I don't know. I think that's what I'm saying. I think it's just a long time coming, and it's just more and more time has evolved where he can still, like, I'm not getting mine, and this guy's, all he's doing is yelling at me, and he's getting everything. I'm not getting anything.
Right.
I should have inherited all this.
And I'm in a wheelchair and a cane.
Yeah.
Right. But I was a little surprised that Wynn didn't basically say, why? What's changed?
Well,
now? What's the deal?
Yeah, it wasn't anything why now. But, Johnny did try to explain the whole, I've been shot. But I was wondering, like you, what's the thing? What's the tipping point? It was almost like I wanted one more thing to just say, all right, that's it. Push him over the edge. And that's it. And it wasn't just that he was screaming at him, whatever. I wanted something.
Yeah, there was no, and maybe they didn't
have time to show up. Maybe they did film it and they didn't have time to put it in.
There didn't seem to be that last straw. Yeah. There wasn't that last straw.
Unless he knows something about, the whatever stash they're looking for or whatever. Right. Unless Johnny has some information that he figures Boyd out of the way. It's a better cut for me.
Well, let's just pose the question then. Let's because Boyd's going to find out at some point.
Sure.
So if he shot him last time, what do you think he's going to do to him this time?
I think he's going to use a snake.
He's getting quite good at that, I guess.
It was an interesting beat.
Yeah.
It was surprising.
And the way they shot it, too, because here he is talking. For a second, I'm going, first of all, I don't know who he's talking to. So that was nice.
Right.
And then I go, are they laying another trap this time? I was like, what are they trying to do here? And then when it was Wynn, I went, whoa.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I have, in the Battle of the Crowders, I have my money on Boyd, I have to say.
But that's the thing. For Wynn to just kind of go, okay, I'm in.
Uh-huh.
It's like, dude, you know who you're dealing
with. Yeah, but I think he's just doing that to play it out, play the hand. I don't think he's fully.
There seemed to be some sort of evaluation.
Yeah, exactly.
Part. He was sort of like, I want to believe you.
And they're going to do what they always do, which is you got to prove it to me, which means he's going to have him do this or have him do that so he can prove that,
He didn't try to vet him as much as possible.
Exactly.
He said, well, why should I believe you?
Yeah.
Why now? What does this make sense? And he's like, I want
to
believe you.
So that whole thing. And again, even if he did believe him, you go, well, look, if he's going to do that to his own family and he wants to work for me, what's going to happen when he works for me?
Right.
It never works.
Right.
They'll do it if they do it to you, or they do it with you, they'll do it to you.
Well, there's a short-sighted criminal and there's a sort of long-game criminal.
Exactly.
And Johnny seems to be on the short-sighted.
And I don't understand Johnny's play. I mean, in the sense that I do get, okay, he wants to be in Boyd's place. But to think that he's actually going to get anywhere if he gets in bed with Wynn, because if let's just say he did, Boyd's gone. The next thing Wynn's going to do is pop Johnny.
Yeah, well,
I don't need either of you.
Is that there's that little organization in Harlan, that little corner is yeah. still run by the Crowders.
Yeah.
So Wynn would sort of need, they would, you know, Wynn's not going to go down.
Yeah,
for a time,
but as soon as he learns the lay of the land, he's not going to need Johnny.
And
the first thing he'll do is cut him out.
Sure.
So Johnny's got to realize that.
He's still pissed because when Bo ran the operation, you know, Johnny was number two in line. It was all about Johnny. It was Bo, and Johnny. Then Boyd gets, you know, here comes Boyd, so...
Right,
you know, Johnny's still hot about it. Apparently, right. when he wants his rightful place on the Crowder crime throne.
That's it.
Anybody have favorite lines? I got a favorite.
Oh line. Yeah, please, yeah. Let's talk favorite lines.
Okay, best way to start a scene. Way to go, asshole.
Yeah, you know. Oh yeah, we didn't even talk art. Yeah,
art did not disappoint as usual.
I never disappoint. My favorite book this time when Bart said, you know, Eve talks about Drew and where he is and all that other stuff. He goes, "Well, that sounds like bullshit."
Right.
Again.
Yeah. So how often do you hear a lawman say stuff like that?
Yeah, art does not disappoint.
Yeah.
They're also bringing up Rachel's story.
Yeah, they're bringing her in.
We open with the first time in the office, Rachel's being called on the carpet for acting like Raylan.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then we have a moment in the bar with Rachel and Raylan being thankful he doesn't have to talk, you know, personal things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So interesting. They're setting something.
Yeah, I think they're carrying that. That's going to play out in somehow. Who knows? But Rachel, on edge, or at least bothered, anxious about the whole Joe thing and not being together with her husband.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love it. And she said, you know, you never to back to art. You know, she said, you never reprimand Wyatt Earp over here.
Yeah, exactly. he's a lost cause.
Yeah, he's a lost cause. I still have hope for you, but you know.
Yeah. That's all I got.
All right. So do we have... are we going right to predictions or do we have news and gossip?
We don't... I do not.
Let's go to predictions then. Let's go right to predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right. Who's got what up first?
I'll go.
Go.
I think we're losing one, maybe two continual characters. I think Johnny... I think he dies this season.
This season, okay.
Yeah, I think they're setting that up, and I'll bet one of the Marshalls goes.
Wow.
Yeah.
You think Tim or Rachel?
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay. Wow.
Just a couple of reasons. One, okay, I think Johnny, from a business standpoint, I think he's probably looking at another gig.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he probably wants another show, so he's probably going, "You can kill me, I'm good." And they've been, if you look at some of the characters, they're introducing new characters now.
Yeah.
And some of these characters, although you love to see them, they're not moving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're introducing Rachel, and they're introducing a storyline, but that storyline is taking her away from her focus.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's getting set up, and I think what we were talking about earlier, if this is a legitimate move against Boyd,
I don't see an end game for that. I think
so. There you go.
But the end will be the end.
Yeah.
So interesting.
I predict the return of Natalie Z. I predict that. I'm working on that. I'm a news and gossip. It's not quite super confirmed on my part, but I think she's... I'm fairly sure she'll be back sooner.
Well, that'll fly in the face of Tammy's prediction.
I think she'll be back sooner than we think. So that's
That's his former wife. Yeah, so
with baby in arms.
Well, I don't know how. She'll be back.
What we got so far. All right. Does anybody have anything for next week, though? I mean, so how is this? So first of all, everybody agree that Billy's dead. Preacher Billy, is he dead?
I think he's going to make
it. That was a pretty legitimate bite.
Yeah.
You know?
I think
he looked like he's gone. But,
yeah.
But it'd be interesting if he's saved in some fashion, or let's say he doesn't die, they get to him fast. You know, that might steal his resolve to go back out there. Who knows?
I mean, Billy lives.
I just like it as a way to get as a conflict for Boyd to have to deal with.
I think they're closing that storyline down because in the trailer... Mm-hmm. There's a moment where she says, "We need to find out if she told anybody."
Yeah, that's all about LMA.
LMA, right. But, you know...
So you think they're going to switch over?
I think you said it earlier. I think they're bringing in the bigger fish now.
Yeah.
And I'm not... If they do button the storyline up, I'm not really sure what it
you know, gave to that world, except that it was an interesting place for Boyd to hang out in. You know,
we can't
because they've not really. There was another kind of drug that was coming in. You know, first season. I mean, first episode that they talk about. So
we can't be done with the church. I think.
Well, there's nothing else.
Well, if Billy dies, you know, Casey isn't going to run it.
That's true. That's true.
But it's too bad. I mean, it's so interesting. But you know, Justified's done that many times. You get these characters. I mean, Cassie, and you think they're going to be around for a little bit, and then nope. Let's face it.
That's why you watch.
But who knows? But we'll see. All right. So that's all we got for tonight, right?
That's it.
Anything else? And last words? Good. Where can they see you?
Where to go, asshole? I think I might be doing Glee Project as well when that starts up. So other than that, there you go. Woohoo!
Marissa, enjoying that.
Other than that, find me on Bottomly Steven at the Tweetsters. Tweetiverse.
You can catch me right here on Monday nights with the following after show with our buddies. You can also catch my work next week on Grantland.com, and you can get me at Twitter at Joe K. Braswell.
What about you, Marissa? Where should they get a hold of you?
I'm at Serafini TV.
There you go. And you also do Once?
Yes, I do Once Upon a Time and Glee.
Thank you very much.
And Here Comes Honey
Boo. Oh, really? See, that's Here Comes Honey Boo. There you go. Nice.
I'll be doing one more show called Go 49ers. Great. Last that's a couple of weeks.
Too. Okay, now we're going to get some comments. Thank you
couple
very much.
A couple of weeks.
40 right. freaking Niners.
And then a full year.
All right, we got to get out of here. But anyway, on behalf of everybody here, we want to thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz with you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.